The third Advent candle is lit, and it reminds us of what the third week in Advent is about. We're called to remember John the Baptist in this week of the Christian calendar. And we think of him coming as the herald, and the herald who came to give us a message. And the message is twofold. He told us that Jesus was coming, and he asked us, are we ready? Jesus is coming. Are we ready? These are the two things I want you to hold in your minds this morning as we go through the service. Our first reading comes from Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 to 27. Joshua 24, starting at verse 14. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are now living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, far be it from us to forsake the Lord, to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our fathers up out of Egypt from that land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us in our entire journey and among all the nations through which we have traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites, who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord, because he is our God. Joshua said to the people, you are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you, after he has been good to you. But the people said to Joshua, no, we will serve the Lord. Then Joshua said, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen to serve the Lord. Yes, we are witnesses, they replied. Now then, said Joshua, throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, we will serve the Lord our God and obey him. On that day, Joshua made a covenant for the people, and there at Shechem, he drew up for them decrees and laws. And Joshua recorded these things in the book of the law of God. Then he took a large stone and set it up there under the oak, near the holy place of the Lord. See, he said to all the people, this stone will be a witness against us. It has heard all the words the Lord has said to you. It will be a witness against you if you are untrue to your God. Our second reading is taken from Matthew 25, verses 1 to 13. It concludes our look at parables of Jesus. And this is the parable of the 10 virgins. Matthew 25, starting at verse 1. At that time the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out. No, they replied, there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves. But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Amen. May God add his blessing to this reading of his word. Guide our minds by your Spirit, that we may understand your word, learn your will, and follow more closely in the steps of Christ our Lord. Amen. On a bright, sunny day, August 2nd, 1999, I stood at the front of the church, waiting. I stood beside my best friend and my brother, and I waited. I looked up at my father in front of me, and I waited. I looked across at the organist, and I waited. I waited for my bride to come. Now, to be fair, Lindsay came early, which is unusual. But yet, that time of waiting seemed to take forever. But arrived she did. She floated down the aisle, smiling, shimmering and smiling. And she was followed by not one, not two, but three bridesmaids and a flower girl. Everything was in place. The waiting was over. The marriage ceremony could begin. Today's reading, the parable of the 10 virgins, commonly known as the 10 bridesmaids, tells us that the waiting is not over. In fact, it tells us that we are still waiting. This is the third week of Advent and the last in our series of the parables of Jesus. Throughout Advent, we wait for Christmas Day and the celebration of God sending his Son to be with us. And in this, the third week, we think ahead to the return of Jesus Christ, the second coming. And many of us do so with great apprehension. Today's reading speaks into this time of waiting, this in-between time. When you think about it, we all live in the in-between time. If we're old, we want to be younger. If we're younger, we want to be older. As soon as one stage in life is completed, we're faced with another challenge. We're sons, daughters, mothers, fathers, grandparents, and even great-grandparents. And as soon as we complete an aspect of our lives, we realize there is another that is still incomplete. So it is too with our walk of faith. Jesus was born, lived, died, and rose again. And Jesus will indeed return. But at a time and hour we do not and cannot know. But until he does, we live in the in-between times of now and not yet. And this is where we find our bridesmaids in today's parable. We find them in the in-between times. Let's take a closer look at the parable. Jesus tells the disciples that the 10 bridesmaids wait for the arrival of the bridegroom. Some are better prepared than others. In fact, the 10 are split. 5 are wise and 5 are foolish. The bridegroom takes a long time to arrive. In fact, so long that the bridesmaids fall asleep. Finally, he is announced at midnight. The foolish girls come to the realization that they cannot share oil with the others, and so they are sent away to get more. Meanwhile, the bridegroom arrives and the banquet starts. The wise bridesmaids enter the celebration with the bridegroom. The foolish bridesmaids, on their return, are turned away at the door with the words, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you." If you thought that Shakespeare had the copyright on tragedy, you'd be wrong. The Bible's full of it. This is a tragedy. Those who thought themselves to be friends of the bridegroom, he did not even recognize. Those who thought themselves Christians were ill prepared in the light of Christ's coming. Their lamps flickered and went out, and they were denied entry. So what is the moral of this parable? What is the teaching that Jesus imparts to his disciples through it? The answer is to be found in the last verse of the passage that we read. Verse 13 says, "Therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Yet the parable concerns itself not so much with the watching as with the preparing. In essence, it says, in order to keep watch, as we should, we need to be well prepared. Although the message is clear, how we get there is at best confusing. The parable is hard. To the foolish, the bridegroom replies, "I do not know you." It's unfair. All the bridesmaids slept, yet only half were allowed to enter the celebrations. The parable's mean. The foolish bridesmaids were refused. There may not be enough for both us and you. It's confusing. The bridegroom is announced at midnight, and yet at that point, the day and hour is known. And yet the bridesmaids leave to get oil. And then they're surprised when they fail to gain entry. There are many questions left unanswered. Why did the bridesmaids need lamps? Where did the bridesmaids sleep? Why did the bridegroom take so long? Where is the bride in the story? Why do the bridesmaids wait for the groom and not the other way around? Why and where did they go to buy oil at midnight? How can we account for all of this? Well, as you know, Jesus used stories and images that were easy to understand into the culture in which he was speaking. And so it is with the parable of the 10 bridesmaids. And before we look at how the parable has meaning for us, we need to have a basic understanding of weddings in Palestine. Professor William Barclay tells us that a wedding in a village in Palestine was a great occasion. The whole village turned out to accompany the couple to their new home, and they went by the longest possible road in order that they might receive the glad good wishes of as many as possible. Now, the point of the story lies in the Jewish custom, which is very different from anything which we know. When a couple is married in Palestine, they did not go away for a honeymoon. They stayed at home. And for a week they kept open house. They were treated and even addressed as prince and princess. It was the greatest week in their lives. To the festivities of that week, their chosen friends only were admitted. So it was not only the marriage ceremony, but also the joyous week that the foolish bridesmaids missed. The wedding celebration is very much the same in Palestine today. And other important points to note are, number one, it's the role of the bridesmaids to keep the bride company till the bridegroom comes. Two, nobody knows when the wedding ceremony is to take place. In fact, it often happens in the middle of the night. Thirdly, no one is allowed onto the streets after dark without a lighted lamp. And fourthly, once the bridegroom has arrived, the door must be closed and latecomers are not to be admitted. So what are we to make of all of this? Well, I believe that the parable brings us three universal truths. The parable brings us comfort. It brings us a warning. But the parable also brings us hope. So where I hear you ask is the comfort. Well, taking into account the context of the Palestinian wedding, we note that the bridesmaids were to keep the bride company while they waited for the bridegroom. In fact, the bridegroom takes so long that all the bridesmaids fall asleep. Yet no blame is offered on account of this. It does not seem to interfere with the wisdom of the wise bridesmaids, nor does it condemn the foolish. Here we find evidence of God's mercy. God recognizes, as we live in these in-between times, that our expectation of his arrival may well be diminished. However, the sleep he permits is light. And that's okay as long as we are ready to wake from our slumbers when the cry is heard and have our lamps lit, ready for the procession. God recognizes our weaknesses and mercifully allows for it. So the parable brings us words of comfort, but it also brings us a warning. The warning is twofold and emphasizes the importance of good preparation. We are urged not to leave it too late, because firstly, some things cannot be got at the last minute. And secondly, some things cannot be borrowed. Some things cannot be got at the last minute. It's far too late for the student preparing for the exam when the day has already arrived. It's too late for an actor to learn to speak Italian on the day of the audition. It's too late for the astronaut to learn to fly the space shuttle when the mission leaves tomorrow. Here's the thing, which is more important? The exam? The audition? The mission to Mars? Or meeting our Maker? Which one deserves most preparation? Some things cannot be left to the last minute. And secondly, the parable warns us that some things cannot be borrowed. The pleading of the foolish bridesmaids may at first seem desperate, but not unreasonable. When they find out that it is impossible to borrow oil, we learn that this pleading is not in the parable by chance. It is illustrative of the fact that we cannot borrow a relationship with God. Just as we cannot borrow character, so we cannot rely on others to see us through. We may be part of a strong Christian fellowship. We may be an office bearer, a Sunday school teacher, a friend of the minister. Some things cannot be borrowed. And we cannot borrow our relationship with God. Finally, there is hope. This message is not for those outside the wedding party. It is to the bridesmaids. That is, it is to the Christian. Ensure you are prepared. Do not leave it until it is too late. It has been said that we are today what yesterday's choices have made us. We cannot go back on them, though we may wish it with all our might. It is not too late, yet. How are we preparing? When we hear the words, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming," what will our response be? With 2 weeks before Christmas, what are we to make of this? Advent is indeed a time of preparation. And as we approach the celebration of Christmas, we too acquiesce in the Christmas story. The angels, the star, the wise men, the shepherds, the stable, the baby Jesus. We expect the joy of Christmas to be ours in some sort of naive way. But what meaning does Christmas hold today? How does it move us? The wartime poet Stuart Kennedy captures the modern attitude to Christmas with his poem Indifference. In place of Bethlehem, he sees Jesus coming to Birmingham. When Jesus came to Golgotha, they hanged him on a tree. They drave great nails through his hands and feet and made a Calvary. They crowned him with a crown of thorns, red were his wounds and deep, for those were crude and cruel days, and human flesh was cheap. When Jesus came to Birmingham, they simply passed him by. They never hurt a hair of him, they only let him die. For men had grown more tender, and they would not give him pain. They only just passed down the street and left him in the rain. Still Jesus cried, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." And still it rained the wintry rain that drenched him through and through. The crowds went home and left the streets without a soul to see. And Jesus crouched against a wall and cried for Calvary. We claim Christmas as God entering our world at a moment in history. What does Christmas mean for our modern lives, 2,000 years removed? Advent is like a sacrament. It calls us to review our lives in the light of what God has done. Just like Christmas cards remind us of people we once knew and had a relationship with, so Advent reminds us to be prepared. We need to work on our relationship with God this Christmas. We need to receive his correspondence as it is written in his word. We need to write back to God. Our replies articulated in our prayers. And we need to share this friendship with others, that they too might know the joy of being invited inside to join the celebration. Do not leave it until it is too late. Be prepared. Be prepared to wait. Be prepared to do it yourself. Be prepared to meet your Maker. Be prepared to join the celebration. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, set us free from indifference and self-indulgence. Help us to see, even at this distance of 2,000 years, that the issues of incomprehension and unbelief are still with us. May we use this Advent time that we might welcome him who comes as Jesus Christ, our Saviour and Lord. Amen.